Welcome to Parents' Perspective. We were so excited to receive our son's letter from camp. "Hi, Mom and Dad," he began. "Things are going great here." We smiled. It was only when we got to his closing lines that we began to wonder whether camp had been such a good idea after all. "My favorite activity," he explained, "is cliff jumping." How can we help our children plan productive summer activities? I'm Linda Perlis.
And I'm Sandy Burt. Today, our guest will discuss a wide variety of summer options. Sharon Norcio is a therapeutic recreation specialist who supervises school year and summer activities for children from 2 years on up to 97. She is also the mother of three children, ages 3, 4.5, and 7. Welcome, Sharon.
Hi, it's very nice to be here today.
One of the best things I think we can discuss as we begin is what makes a productive summer for kids. What are your thoughts on this?
I think summertime is a time for children to be exposed to new things. It's time for them to be open to new experiences and new opportunities. It's a time for them to make new friends. They make friends often during the school year, but it's a chance to do something in a non-structured environment. The school system often tells them where and when to go, and this gives the parents and the child a chance to choose where they want to go and what they want to do. If there's some things they want to focus on, they can meet new friends, people from different places. They can focus on growth and accomplishments, and it also gives them something to write about when they go back to school in the fall.
Very important. It's sort of an enriching time for kids. It's
absolutely
very different than their school experience.
Mm-hmm. Whether they're learning cliff jumping or a new instrument or something. Sharon, how can parents find out what programs are available in their own community?
Parents can find options for their children lots of different ways. Often they are sent home from the school system. A lot of places will send things through the school, or they will target folks by mailing lists. But if you don't have things actually coming home through the mailbox or with your children, good places to look are the recreation agency in your community. Most communities also have a parks department. Sometimes they are one agency, sometimes they're separate. Local libraries often have flyers of lots of different resources that are available. You could make phone calls to things like the YMCA, the YWCA, local Boys and Girls Clubs, things like that.
Also, I would bet some of the school systems probably run summer programs.
Some of them do.
Yeah. What are some free opportunities that you can recommend that parents might be able to look out for kids?
There's lots of free and low-cost opportunities for kids. Again, a lot of them are municipal. Some of them are from commercial places in the community. There's often special events. There are holiday celebrations. In the summer, of course, we have Independence Day. There are nature centers, museums, historic places. The libraries often have story time or some kind of a theme time for children to go in and experience things based on literature. They could do some types of community service projects. There's lots of those available. Some municipalities or counties will have like a clearinghouse. You can go in and select a project for them to do or have them specify if they have an interest in a particular area.
For that, where would they find that out? They would go to a government building?
A government building, a chamber of commerce. Ask a local librarian if there's a clearinghouse for volunteer or community projects.
All right, and maybe a 4-H club might have some of that also?
4-Hs, if you have 4-H in the area. Again, Boys and Girls Clubs sometimes have them. Scouting groups often have lists from community members who may have needs. It may be something as simple as, you know, helping an elderly person with a garden. It may be that there's a nursery school that needs someone to come in and help paint or clean toys or a shelter that has animals that need walking or things like that.
Mm-hmm. One summer, I remember one of my children was looking for volunteer work to do, and he went to a social service agency, and they said, "Would you rather work with older people or would you rather work with children?" And he chose to work with children, and he worked at a camp as a volunteer for children with disabilities. And it was a very interesting experience with him. He had a little bit of training to do it, and then it was mostly, you know, flying by the seat of your pants. But it was during that summer that he first began to talk about becoming a doctor, which is what he's doing now.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So it opens up some different opportunities for kids that you can kind of pick your focus area, or sometimes you get into a project or an activity and say, "This isn't what I want to do," and you should finish the project, but maybe know next time to try something different. It's got to meet
your needs.
It's
a good opportunity for that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Sharon, what options do you think would be helpful for children interested in the arts, particularly?
Again, it's going to depend on the region where you live, but I would recommend taking them to different types of theater and concerts. It's not something that needs to happen only in the summer. There's a lot of high school productions and things like that that are very low cost, and it's a good way to introduce children to both theater. It can be musicals or dramas. It could be different types of concerts, and they can find out where their interest is. There are also ballet groups that put on performances for the community, and it's a good way. And if your child is not interested, you don't feel so bad walking out of the activities if you've purchased a very expensive ticket. There's also resources in the libraries. They have videotapes and audio tapes that will introduce you to things like the ballet and the theater and drum playing and how to make costumes and do some of the behind stage things. And those are nice ways to introduce children to those. There are also camps, or sometimes they call them theater schools, where they will do props and costume designs, and they will actually have the children perform in them. And sometimes it's good for kids to see the whole production and see what happens and all the energy that goes into that. And although they may not be a stage performer themselves, they may like the whole excitement that happens behind the scenes. And there's a lot of need for folks who can help with that. But again, I would check with the local theaters in the area and see if they sponsor. Sometimes there's arts councils that will sponsor activities for kids. Sometimes they are full day, workshops, and other times they are, camps that may last the entire summer. So again, you can kind of fit that in depending on where your needs are.
I have a niece who parlayed an interest in the arts into a community service activity. She was interested in dance and took dance for years and years and years. And finally, when she was a teenager, she found that the recreation department in her area was holding dance classes for little kids. And so that was a community service thing that she could do, and she was delighted to do it. It's really a good thing. What about summer as a time to begin lessons?
What I've heard pretty much from parents is that the parents have to make the investment in finding the instructor who is going to personality-wise meet with that child, and also be willing to rent the equipment or find out where the equipment is, if they need to borrow it or rent it or lease it or however that is going to work. But for the kids to try it as an introduction, it's a good time of year. There are less distractions, less commitments. Often they're not playing in sports leagues and have the homework and some of the other reasons why they find not to practice. So they have that opportunity to be able to actually say, this is something that I want to do. And then you can find out whether it's something that they really are interested in or whether it's something that they lose interest over a very quick period of time. During the school year, there's so many other things going on that it probably is, it's fine to start in the school year. Also, the schools often have pieces of equipment that they will rent the kids, whether it's clarinets or something like that, where it's a small deposit. But they may also rent them out during the school year or during the summer if the parents inquire. So again, check with your school system to see if they have equipment or instruments that they can loan out. It's also a good time to try other classes and skills for lessons. There's a lot of kids who are into biking or rollerblading, and for safety reasons, they might want to get some instruction. And that's a good time to do that also, because it's a recreation skill, but they may need to fine-tune that a little bit in order for people like us parents who don't want them to be out doing it by themselves. And there's also classes on bicycle maintenance. So if something happens and they get a flat tire, how they can fix that and get back on the road again if they're out biking with friends. Or
how would parents find out about those kinds of classes?
Again, I would check with the Board of Education or the Recreation Department in their area and see what types of supplemental programs they have in the summer.
And my guess is maybe certain specific things like bicycle shops might even know about classes and bike maintenance.
Absolutely.
Like,
and if there's nothing in your area, you could certainly approach the owners of the commercial establishments. There are some that will, if they have enough interest, they may, say, if we have three people, we'll go ahead and start a class for you. And rollerblade shops, skateboarding, biking, places like that certainly have the experts. And, if you approach them as, this is something that we feel there's a need for, they will often be receptive to that.
All those activities are so much safer when children have some instruction in how to do them. What kinds of outdoor programs, sports, nature, are you aware of?
I would take advantage of the environment that you live in, and often the recreation programmers that I know will plan around the strengths of that area. If there's hiking trails, they will plan activities around that. There are often camps. There are nature centers. There's outward bound activities, so some of them are day activities and some of them are overnight adventures. There are trips and tours, and I recently heard of someone who does biking tours around the Washington area, and they actually do bicycle tours around the Washington Monument and Mount Vernon and things like that, which is something new for the Washington area for the biking enthusiasts. So you can add a little bit of history into that also, because you're going to expose the kids. They get to burn off a little bit of energy rather than walking around and hearing, you know, a lot of lectures. They're going to approach it a little bit differently. One of the most important things probably for families is to decide if you want to do something self-directed or if it's a little more group-oriented. The group ones are very much organized and on a schedule, whereas sometimes they are self-directed activities. July is a wonderful time to be checking into things because it is National Recreation and Parks Month. It's a nationwide program. And if you're interested in finding out at your state level, there usually is a state recreation and parks association that would have a listing of special events and things that are happening for the month of July. Often the nature centers will have a neat experience where they will guide you for bird watching, or they will have critter feedings or something like that. And sometimes they will have a bald eagle or something like that that they have rescued because of an injury, and they will allow children to come in and see them and watch the feeding and things like that. And that's really nice time to tie into the celebration of our Independence Day and how, you know, the American eagle is an endangered species. And there's lots of ways to tie in the special events that also happen not only at a national level but also in an outdoor environment.
Last summer, one of my children had the opportunity to work as a volunteer in a wildlife sanctuary, which is called Second Chance. And daily, animals were being brought in to be taken care of, and this was a very much of a licensed, full-time, 24-hour program. So he had deer, and they had an opossum that was tame, that was a pet there because they couldn't release it into the wild because of its injuries, and lots of ducks. One day I called and asked him what time to pick him up, and he said, well, I won't be ready. I have to take the ducks for a swim. And I said, what? He said, I'll tell you about it when you come. And so I came to pick him up, and he took me and showed me they use little baby pools, baby swimming pools, plastic ones, fill them up with water and put the little ducks that have been rescued from the wild, either the mothers have been injured or whatever, and they give them swimming time. And that was what he had to do before he could come home. It's a wonderful opportunity he couldn't do during the school year.
Oh, that's terrific. And I would bet that parents, if they don't have a program in their own area, maybe could band together and take 5 or 6 or 7 kids to the programs at the nature centers.
Absolutely. So and again, usually if you approach, you know, kind of the experts and say, we have, you know, a small group who is interested in learning more about what you do, they're usually very generous in sharing their knowledge.
I know in our libraries locally, and this is probably so in most public libraries, there are all kinds of free handouts about summer programs and volunteer opportunities and recreation department programs. It's a wonderful place for people to find out phone numbers of what's going on.
Absolutely. And it's often a telephone game where you make one phone call and it leads you to 2 other places or 2 other opportunities. Also asking other parents where they take them. I have a sister who recently relocated, and she went in pretty much naked to this new area, and she learned where the, you know, preschools were and, you know, how you access the libraries and was there story time for younger children, you know, what do are there play groups established, things like that. And she found out some of it from the libraries, but also a lot of it was by asking other parents in the grocery stores, you know, what they do with their children and how they find things for them to do.
Often actually grocery store bulletin boards tell all interesting things that are going on. We never would have thought of that as a reference place. What would you say to parents are the benefits of group activities for kids in the summer?
I'd say the most important one is probably socialization. It gives the children exposure to other people and cultures, and it gives them a chance to meet children from other schools, the opportunity to learn about, you know, other people and cultures, holidays that may be celebrated, things like that. Opportunity to experience lots of different things, often activities that parents wouldn't want to do or couldn't afford to do with the whole family. We had a summer camp group that we actually took out to a monster truck rally. And it's certainly something that the kids, they were, you know, a little older teenage, younger teenagers, older youth, and they were so excited because they had talked about this world wrestling and the monster trucks. And of course, their parents didn't want to like take the whole family to the arena to go see these things. So when we set up the field trip, many parents were very receptive to that because the kids had been, you know, kind of putting the bug in their ear that this was something that they wanted to do. And so it gave us the opportunity to offer that. And other things are like the dinner theater, where it may be too expensive for the entire family to go. But, you know, if you go as a group, we often get very good group rates when we're sending a whole group of kids together, or we're going at off-peak times And it gives the kids the opportunity to do something a little bit different. There's also some things the parents may not want to do, like go canoeing, or the parents may not be very strong swimmers, and it gives the kids a chance to do something that the family may not be able to provide for them.
I think also there are some school systems and some other groups that sponsor group activities where the kids can go to another location entirely, like overseas or to another state or someplace that they normally wouldn't be able to go, and they would get that cross-cultural experience that you were talking about.
We often have exchange students come to some of our programs, and we'll get phone calls in the springtime of it's a relative saying, oh, well, I have a niece or a nephew or a cousin who's coming to visit me from another country, and I'm trying to find an opportunity for them during this window of time that they're going to be here so that they can be with these kids and learn, you know, what the social customs are and what, you know, games and crafts and things like that are going on. And it's a good way to learn about folks and mm-hmm. just to learn about something different that may not be taught in the academic environment.
Mm-hmm. And I think also when kids are traveling, even if they're on a bike trip someplace, which there are a lot of wonderful bike trips when the kids get to be teenagers, they bond in a different way than they do when they're doing a day activity.
Where I work, we offer lots of different options for parents. So if you don't find it the first place you're looking, we often will tailor our stuff by the feedback that we get from other folks. So it's important that parents share that idea or that thought and just, you know, either put it in writing or talk to someone at that agency, because although it may not be possible right now, down the line it may be. And as a result of that feedback we've gotten, we're offering more teen trips. Some of them are overnight trips, again, camping in tents and things like that. We have other ones to either amusement parks for a long day where they're gone 12 hours. And those are a result of parents giving us the feedback that this is the type of trip that these kids would like to be involved in.
And that may fall into the category of a parent not especially wanting to go to an amusement park all day and they could go with another group.
Exactly. I have a cousin who had an opportunity to go on a bike trip somewhere in the United States. This is years ago. And as a result of it, the bike trip organization asked him to lead a trip to Hawaii a year or two later. And he did. And it was a marvelous experience. They planned the trip. He was trained in what he needed to know to be in charge. And off he went with a group to Hawaii. Not bad for a job.
Yeah, great experience.
Oh, goodness.
One of the things I think is most important is that the parents talk with the kids to find out what they're interested in before making that final selection. I think that that's the most important thing. One of the stories that ended up with a happy ending was a mom who had a child who was not an athlete and decided that this child should be more athletic and signed the child up for a sports camp without talking to the child at all.
Oh, dear.
And the child was horribly unhappy, but the mom thought because the child was coming home tired every day that they were participating in all the activities and that everything was just fine and wonderful, and this child was becoming a better athlete. And unfortunately, after a couple of visits to the camp, we had to call the parent and say, do you know that this child is either making extra excuses why they can go inside to the water fountain more often, or, you know, they're kind of hiding in the little cove so that they don't have to participate, and they really don't like the grass and the bugs, and they're pretty much miserable. And we were able to offer that child another camp at the same facility, so it didn't have to rearrange things for the parents as far as scheduling and transportation. But the child ended up in a general day camp where they did some games, some sports, some arts and crafts, a little drama. They went swimming, and the child was so much happier because what they wanted was to be with their friends and do a little bit of everything. They didn't want to be an athlete. And so I think it's real important that the parents involve their child as much as possible when selecting something. If the child isn't an athlete, putting them in a camp where all they're going to do is compete in athletics all day probably isn't going to be a very good match. The same with our arts camps where the child may not be an artist. They may like to do arts and crafts a little bit, but to do art 6 hours a day may not be the best match. So talk to the child and see what they want to do, or if they have a friend that's going somewhere that they would be happier. And I think that's what makes the experience in the summer the best is by having everybody's needs met.
That's the same old parenting skill that we always stress. Listen to your child. And this is a perfect example. That child was fortunate there was another option at the same location.
She's been back every summer since. And the parents, if they have any questions, they now call us to say, do you think this one might be better or that one might be better?
Good.
And that's just the personal, you know, from developing a relationship with that family and knowing. Mm-hmm. But again, the child wasn't sharing that with the family. And, and, you know, doing a little bit of spot checking sometimes is a good thing. And just talking to the staff and making sure that things are okay.
Sometimes in some areas, I know they have what's called camp fairs, which a lot of people come to, and the directors of the camps are there and the different programs are there, and the kids can walk around, maybe come with a buddy and sort of get a sense of what's what, so that then they can tell the parents, well, this is interesting, this is not interesting. So if that's an option in your listening area, that's a really good one. We've talked about group activities, but we haven't talked about the benefits of solitary time. That's the kind of thing that we don't talk about or think about too much. But if you remember the Norman Rockwell drawings of the kids sitting on the bank with a fishing pole or just having some daydreaming time, we sort of forget that summertime is an important time, a little bit of downtime for everybody. Have you seen that with some of the kids that you've dealt with?
We've seen some of the kids, not as much in our summer camp program, but in our fall, winter, spring programs, where they will develop a skill, and it's something that they can do in their solitary time. Often it's a craft. We have a lot of kids who spend too much solitary time working on their computers. There's got to be a good balance of the amount of time a child spends alone, and certainly that's a healthy thing, and the amount of time they spend in group activities. I think there needs to be a balance because kids certainly need the socialization that comes with some of those group activities. But I have one of my children who is very much the social butterfly, and if she had her choice, she would be with her friends all the time. And we've had to kind of teach her how to spend some time by herself and that privacy is an okay thing, and, you know, it's okay to go in your room and just be by yourself for a little while and, you know, look at a book or play with a game or something like that. And that's been an interesting process because the child who is immediately older than her just naturally will do that. And so for her to have to initiate that on her own has been a little bit of a struggle. But again, I think that parents just need to watch their child, and every child is a little bit different, and see what is going to meet that child's needs. And again, sometimes they need to be coached a little bit. Sometimes it may be a little bit of one-on-one time where the parent teaches that child a game with cards or something, or they teach them a craft so that it's some activity that the child can do on their own. Writing letters, pen pals, things like that are often good things to do. And it also helps keep up with the academic skills of, you know, the writing and the grammar and things that the kids like to let slip a little bit in the summertime.
Journals are also a really good thing, I think, for kids, especially kids who are heading toward adolescence and have a lot of conflicting feelings and the hormones are kicking in. If they can write in their journal how so-and-so mistreated them and how miserable they are and so forth and so on, sometimes that's a very good outlet as well.
It's a good skill, I think, to teach young people. You can write in a journal, just a plain old notebook of any sort, anytime you want to, anytime you have feelings or thoughts, ideas, recipes. I've seen journals from kids with all kinds of things in them that they wanted to save. And that's a very nice, quiet, alone time activity, as is daydreaming or listening to music. They're all perfectly justifiable activities.
There have been, I think, studies of people who've achieved great success in all kinds of creative fields, inventions in the arts and so forth. And a thread that seems to run through the background of all of them is they were given enough time alone so that they could think things through and they could come up with ideas. And it was really important.
One of the things that I've done with my children, and my children are very young, but I've started them with scrapbooks. And out of all the artwork that comes home, they have to pick their favorite. And on there, on a file card, I'll write, you know, why they picked this specific project. And one of the things they like to do when they go in the room is either go through their photo album or their scrapbook and kind of reflect on the types of things that they like to do. Or I remember making this with such and such a person, and it creates that memory. And you know, it gives them a specific place to put some of those things.
Well, it's a shame that most grown-ups can't take advantage of all the things that we've listed for kids to do. We'd like to thank our guest, Sharon Norcio, for presenting such helpful information today.
Thank you for having me here today.
Our pleasure. A new feature on Parents' Perspective is listeners' polls. Please call our toll-free number. It's 1-800-791-8573. That's 1-800-791-8573. And give us your response to the following three questions. In your household, what is your biggest worry? What are the ages of your children? Of the Parents' Perspective shows you have heard, which show did you find most helpful? Again, our number is 1-800-791-8573. If you'd prefer, you need not leave your name or phone number, but we'd like to use your comments on the air.
If you have comments, questions, or suggestions for Parents' Perspective, call us at 1-800-791-8573 or email us at parentspr@aol.com
or contact us care of this station. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.